Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
It's been a week. It's been an eventful week for you. It's been an eventful week for the show. We have a lot of new subscribers. We have a lot of new viewers. We have a lot of new fans. And it was all because of what we talked about last week, a very tough topic for you with the Conor Benn positive test, all the fallout with that. So I appreciate everyone that has jumped on board here with John Boy Boxing and found our show, albeit a very shitty topic, but a topic that's very important. And I think a lot of people will see that this show is not going to run from topics. We're not going to hide from any subject out there. If it's happening, we're going to cover it. And in this case, Chris, you covered it expertly. I mean, you broke it down, and I think people, if they didn't know, now they know. But there is, that's still kind of a story in the boxing world. A lot of fallout from this Ben stuff. I know it's hits home close to you from last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those topics that, you know, we I think we've alluded to, or at least I have on previous shows. You know, just talking about the whole Peds and boxing situation. I've always wanted an outlet to kind of spread my knowledge about that. And this just kind of fell into it perfectly. And like you said, hit close to home, and it was very relevant and current. So yeah, it made sense. That was good. That was a good time to open up about it.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way. There's some more fallout from this. You know, something we didn't talk about last week, there was somewhat of a cover-up. I mean, the only reason that apparently he tested positive in early September, there's now reports of previous failed drug tests that were covered up. The only reason this fight didn't happen is because the Daily Mail broke a story on fight week. So that was an interesting thing there too. Ben has finally put out a message, albeit a very short one. I think it was on Instagram. He says, "I hope the apology is as loud as the disrespect." What do you think of that?
I don't know what he thinks is going on, you know, behind the scenes, but I guess, you know, we don't really know either. But going back to the idea that, you know, this actually happened back in September, the fact that it took this long is scary. That was essentially covered up. And then hearing that he possibly could have failed a previous test for the exact same drug earlier, really, really makes me worried about just the whole sport in general. You know, the idea that these guys could be getting past certain situations like this because of name and money and power. So, I guess, you know, this is all going to play out over time. Best. Apparently the British Board of Boxing moves very, very slow from what I understand. So,
it's definitely going to play out
about this for a while.
It's going to play out in time, because that's what Eddie Hearn is now saying. This will play out. You will see. I hope, you know, a lot of people will eat their words. But there was no VADA testing for your fight, right?
Nope. So we pissed in a cup the night of the fight, and that was it.
So, yeah. So, I mean, and another thing, too, is this drug that was in his system. Like, there's no wiggle room with this drug. It's banned on so many lists. It's like, even if there's trace amounts, like, you know, with the clenbuterol, you're allowed to have trace amounts. You can make your own judgments from that. I think Canelo has suffered from that, and other fighters that was the failed test for them. But when it comes to the drug that Ben tested positive for, that's not something that there's any wiggle room with, right?
No. And you either are or you aren't. Like, it's either in your system or it's not. And there's no place for it in a male to have it. Yeah, it's not like you're not like kind of pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And it's just like that with this drug. It's either in your system or it's not.
Yeah, you did a lot of interviews this week. I'm sure you're tired of talking about it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll never be tired of talking about PEDs in the sport, because it is a very dangerous topic and something that, you know, I do know a lot about, and I've been in the sport long enough to have seen it and understand it. But yeah, in terms of this whole Ben debacle, as far as I'm concerned, the fight didn't happen last week. That's all that needs to be said.
Let me ask you one thing, Leslie. If he was to reach out to you, how do you think that would go?
It depends how he came at me. You know, if you know, he was trying to say, like, I don't know, honestly, because I don't know until this is really all the way out. Like, if he's going to declare his innocence and he's not, then what's the point of hearing anything he has to say to me? So, you know, it really depends on that. And I don't really know exactly yet. But if it turns out that everything is the way that it certainly seems like it is, then I got no words. I don't want to hear a damn thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move on to better topics. And Ronnie, can you see that this says the chat is disabled for the live stream?
I just saw that and I fixed it. Okay. So because it was made for kids. And when it's made for kids, chat is turned off. So
let's get into the previews, Chris. There's a ton of fights this weekend. All over. You'll be on the call for Haney Kambosos in Vegas. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's better than going to Australia. Yeah. I'm going to be doing the opening fights, the undercard with, my guy, Eric Rothman. And then for the main event, the shoot over to ESPN. So ESPN Plus are here. You'll hear and see me.
Right. The rematch between Haney and Kambosos that not really being promoted. It's, contractually obligated. We don't get the first fight. You have to get the second fight. You know, that's just how rematch clauses work. I feel like ESPN has, like, we're like, yeah, we're going to do this fight, but we're not really going to promote it because the first fight was absolute wash. So that's one of the fights this weekend over on ESPN. It probably will do the best ratings because it's on regular ESPN. Some of these other ones are in the afternoon on DAZN. The Shields-Marshall-Mayer-Bumgarner doubleheader finally was delayed because of the passing of the Queen. We're getting this fight. You're seeing a lot of trash talk from the four of them. We'll get into that. Then you have over at the Barclays Center. Me and Ronnie will be in attendance at the Barclays Center for Deontay Wilder, his big triumphant comeback versus Helenius. It's going to be an explosive night. Plant Durrell on the undercard. Those are the main fights this weekend. There's also a DAZN card over in the UK, in Australia. There's two Australian fight cards this weekend with our girl over there. Why am I drawing a blank on her? Scott Nicholson is fighting in a – it's not the main event, but she's on the card. All right, so I got a wheel here. I got five fights on this wheel on my computer. We're going to spin the wheel to figure out which fight we're going to break down first. All right, Chris, you ready? This is riveting.
Ready.
Here it is. Those are the main fights this weekend. Of course, Plant Durrell is the first one to come up on the list. Caleb Plant back in the ring for the first time since losing to Canelo Alvarez, and that is a 343-day inactive. Same thing for Durrell. He fought on the undercard of that Canelo card. 168 pounds is interesting right now. Obviously, Canelo out for a while. But Caleb Plant, are you high on Caleb Plant? Where do you stand on his skills? He's a, you know, he kind of fights similar to your style, Chris.
Yeah, I've always been high on his skills. You know, his boxing skills, his IQ. I like the way he fights. He uses his feet. He jabs really well. He impressed me in the beginning of the Canelo fight. He just couldn't keep it up and fell apart, you know, toward the end of the fight. I think he's got a lot of talent, a lot of upside. I just don't know how well he will compete with the top guys in that division. And, you know, Durrell's no slouch, definitely an older guy. You know, again, you said inactive. So I think the way, if he is to win the fight, it's going to be the way he wins that is going to really shine light on what the rest of his career will look like.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Plant got that huge payday, $10 million purse for the Canelo fight, even more that's on the crazy upside of the pay-per-view, and the pay-per-view did really well, did over 800,000 buys, so he made a lot of money. I mean, that's what his main thing was. He sat out a long time in 2020 leading up to the fight. You know, he sat out for like 9 months, so he's had one fight in 20-plus months of Caleb Plant, and that's a guy that, you know, depends on being sharp in there. I'm sure he got a lot of sparring. I'm sure he got a lot of stuff, but you can attest to this. It's not the same as being in the ring. I know it's very cliche to talk about ring rust, but these are two guys coming off of 343-day inactive streak. That's pretty relevant to this fight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, at least it's both of them, but I mean, that's all Al Haymon fighters. All the PBC guys, they fight once a year. They're the most inactive group of fighters out there. But, you know, in terms of Caleb staying out, you know, it paid off because, like you said, he got paid. But, you know, he has a long career still ahead of him. He's still a pretty young guy. So,
yeah, I like Plant in this fight. I think Durrell is going to give him trouble, though. The thing with Plant, and it's the thing is his whole career. Great jab, really good defense, has just enough power, but just not enough, though, for 168. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the reason why Canelo was able to, you know, take him out late. is because Canelo wasn't really that worried about what was coming back at him. And I thought Plant, you know, won a lot of rounds early in that Canelo fight. He was outlanding him, I think, through the first five rounds, you know, pretty well. And then Canelo just stepped on the gas. That's what intrigues me, too. If he goes up against a Benavidez, if he goes up against some of the you know, a Charlo who moves up to 168, those guys have a lot of power. So it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with Durrell, who is a slugger. Durrell, you know, comes in there and he throws power shots. That's what makes up a majority of his punch distribution.
The dog. Yeah, and he can punch. You know, he can punch a little bit. So I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of punch resistance Caleb can show in that fight. Because Durrell's going to get to him at some point. He's going to touch him. And it's just going to see how he can deal with that. Like you said, he couldn't get respect from Canelo. And he got broken down and fell apart. He couldn't keep him off him. Couldn't get respect from him. So, you know, that was really the issue at the end of that fight.
Durrell, what's his path to victory? No one's really giving him a shot. He's a dog, but he's an old dog. He's been around for a while. He got this fight because of his on that Canelo undercard, had that spectacular one punch, almost like cartoonish uppercut to get in there. And good for him. I mean, he's one of the good guys. He's been around for a long time. What's his path to victory? How do you disarm someone like Plant, who's going to be moving in there a lot?
Cartoonish. I think it was like a Street Fighter uppercut.
Yeah, finish it.
Video. Yeah, but he, you know, so older fighters, what happens a lot of times is that your reaction time isn't the same, right? You still got the conditioning, you're still strong, you can still push. So I think it's going to be more of him really pushing the action and staying busy and being busy. He's got to be in dog shape, you know. He is the dog, right. So he's got to come forward and throw, and he's got to land some big shots. Because I think if he goes tick for tat, he's going to get picked apart.
The 168 picture, alluded to it a little bit in the beginning, is interesting because Canelo Alvarez is in this division. Don't think he's going back up to 175. He's flirting with, you know, fighting Bivol again. Bivol has to get past Zerto. We talked about this a lot, that we don't think that's a good idea anyway. Not on top of that, he's got hand surgery, Canelo Alvarez. He could be out for, he's talked about, up until September. Definitely not going to fight again until May. So I know Plant versus Benavidez, that's been a fight that's been talked about for, what, 3 years now? So if Plant should win, there are a lot of names out there. And I wouldn't say a lot, but there are some intriguing ones. Like a Benavidez-Plant fight would do numbers for PBC. That would, you know, they'd obviously put it on pay-per-view, but it would do well. Like, it would be a fun fight.
Andrew, I like that fight.
Right, that's a fun fight. I mean, that's a puncher versus a boxer. I mean, that does those make for fun fights, and they don't like each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all the storylines too. So that's a good fight. It's an important fight. It means a lot for the division, and it just lines up for that Canelo comeback. You know, Canelo has to fight Benavidez at some point because I really think that's the guy in the division that matters. That's the one.
Well, that's the thing with this 168 pound division. It's like we're waiting for Canelo, even if he's out for a year. We'll see now. It's out there. Canelo gave, you know, it's like a tell. Canelo gave us, he said, this is it. I might not fight until September. We'll really see how, you know, if these guys want to fight each other. We'll really see how serious they are, Plant and Benavidez, Andrade and Charlo. I think Charlo eventually go up to 168. And those are the four, I wouldn't say young, because Andrade and Charlo are above over 30. Benavidez is the young guy, and Canelo is Canelo. So that's the co-main event on Saturday night at the Barclays Center. Pretty good co-main event. It's Plant and Durrell. That's our first fight preview. What's your pick for this one? I'll give my pick as well.
I got Plant. I got Plant by decision. You know, I just think that he's going to be sharper. He's going to use his legs. But I do believe Durrell's going to test him, and he's going to push him and maybe really put it on him late. I got Caleb winning by decision.
Yeah, Casey Diamante in the chat. Durrell's last fight was a highlight KO, but no way he hits Plant with anything like that. He doesn't win 7 out of the 12 rounds. Yeah, I agree with that. I'll go with Plant by decision as well. I think there will be some trying times early for Plant. I think Durrell will go and try to land some big power shots, maybe have some success early. But Plant will take over because I think he's the better boxer, and he's a lot younger. That's
great. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I like fresher.
Fresher, yeah, because, you know, I got to keep in mind, you're an older fighter. You're going to get back in the ring, right?
Yeah. I'm an old man, too, but I'm still pretty fresh.
And I'm the old man here at the office. Like, it's crazy. Like, Ronnie yesterday didn't know who Kelly Kapowski was.
Oh, no.
Broke my heart.
Dude, you're gonna do some homework there, bud. If you're going to be on Hot Boy.
JM Hot Boys?
John Boy Hot Boys, you're going to have to do some Saved by the Bell research.
I was shown, and I became a man yesterday.
What you saw, Kapowski in the flesh. She ages, like, you look at her now, like, she still looks good. Like, you look at those pictures, Ben, like, you know, my first crush.
Hey, I mean, I don't blame you.
Yeah. On that note, let's talk about the Ridge Wallet. Perfect segue. the Ridge Wallet, I love this thing. Here it is right here. This thing is awesome. I got one of my own now. There's two things that we talk about here at John Boy that I actually love is Mugsy Jeans and Ridge Wallet. This thing is freaking awesome. It's like a money clip, but it's a lot more secure. Holds up to 12 cards. It's got room for cash. I got $1 in there. Can't get anything for a dollar these days, but this Ridge Wallet is sick. There's over 30 colors and styles, including carbon fiber, burnt titanium. You want to take a look at how much these their fans like this and how much customers enjoy this. 50,000 five-star reviews. That's pretty damn good. Durable material, which means the wallet comes with a lifetime warranty, and the Ridge team is so confident that you'll like this product that they'll let you test drive it for 45 days. You can send it back for a full refund if you don't love it. Just to show you, I have my old wallet here. Look at this thing. It's got strings hanging from it. Nasty. I take it out at the restaurant. My girlfriend, she goes, "You need a new wallet."
Yeah, that's embarrassing, dude.
It's embarrassing. You can judge a man by their wallet, right? You don't want to be George Costanza walking around with some big, oversized wallet. You want the Ridge Wallet. So check out the link in the description. Use code JOHNBOY for 10% off. Holidays are coming. You don't even need the holidays to justify buying the Ridge Wallet. So shout out to them. That's code JOHNBOY. You want to use the Ridge Wallet. All right, let's spin this wheel. Round and round she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Haney Cambosos, you'll be on the call for this one, Chris. A rematch that many don't want to see. A rematch that really isn't needed. But you don't get the first fight without the second one. That's how rematch clauses work. Devin Haney on a rocket ship to the top. A guy with momentum. This is how it works in boxing. Boxing's all about momentum, in my opinion. And Devin Haney has a lot of momentum on his side. A dominant win over George Kambosos. He's got fights with Lomachenko lined up. He just fought, 4 months ago? Now he's back in the ring. We just talked about inactivity. A lot of momentum on the side of Devin Haney in the ring and outside the ring, popularity-wise. People are starting to know his name. Love Devin Haney in this fight. Kambosos got to come with something. Because last time it didn't work.
Yeah, I expect him to come with something. I just don't think it's going to be enough. I never thought this was a good matchup for Kambosos. Devin Haney is a pure boxer. He has a very, very fast jab. He's got great conditioning. He can go the 12, and he's just, you know, he's very defensive minded. He doesn't want, you know, to engage with Kambosos because that's where he's good. He's a shorter arm guy. He's more of a combination puncher. He's got a great in front of you. Haney's just going to do what he did last time and box and move, stick and move, you know, land it almost at will like he did in the first fight. But yeah, I think Kambosos is going to bring more, but really what he just brings is frenetic energy. And I think Haney's going to be able to slow everything down and fight his pace.
If Haney does bring it, let's say he finds a way through the jab. I had Lou DiBella on the show a few weeks back. He's the promoter of George Kambosos. He's in Australia. Lou DiBella on a plane to Australia is twice in 4 months. That's the real feat here, because that guy can't stand still. Anyway, but he says that George is going to fight a better fight. He is going to take more chances. He's going to walk through the jab. He wasn't willing to walk through the jab. And something I thought was really interesting and something I've never really heard too much is Kambosos said it himself, that the fact that he knew that he had a rematch, knew that for sure there'd be a second fight, changed the way he fought in the fight. I can't believe he would say that, and I can't believe that's how he would fight.
Yeah, he also said that he didn't make weight on purpose, so
deception.
I really can't take...
Deception. Yeah, can't, art of
yeah,
war.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's either him telling himself that or trying to confuse and trick the fans. I don't understand what he means by that, but yeah, that makes no sense.
It's weird because Kambosos, before the Teofimo fight, he was bravado. He got into the head of Teofimo, fought the fight of his life, First fight with Haney, a lot of bravado too. Talked a lot of smack. This one he went into hiding. From what I've seen, he's doing a lot of press now because he has to. He's contractually obligated to, but did not do a lot of press in the lead up to this rematch. Maybe a little bit of embarrassment. Maybe a little bit of, man, I got schooled and now I have to go in there again in front of my home people. Not in the same big stadium. It's in a smaller stadium. But I want to talk quickly about how much how good Haney is and how he disarmed Kambosos in this fight. Kambosos, for his whole career, averaged above 60 thrown punches around. Did the same thing against Teofimo when he fought the fight of his life. Landed 15 of 62 against Teofimo. Knocked him down in that first round. Had an answer for everything. When he got into the ring with Devin Haney, his output completely cut in half, Chris. 8 of 35 versus Haney. And that's because of the jab. Devin Haney is so damn good. Kind of like has the same style, or we talked about this last, not the, exactly the same style as Shakur, but it's his jab, right? It's the jab of Haney that just neutralizes guys in there.
Well, it's control. You know, he's a ring general. He controls the space in the ring. He keeps it at the range that he wants. You know, he's got long arms. He's really big for the weight class. He's got wide shoulders. He's tall. He's long. You know, he utilizes that full length of his jab and his shoulder breadth to keep his opponents where he wants them. I was super impressed. I was there live when he fought Linares. And Linares is a tough out, man. That guy throws combinations. He's got power. He's busy. And Haney, for the majority of the fight, was able to neutralize him as well, keep him where he wanted him. You know, he got caught late in the fight, but was able to fight where he wanted the fight to be fought. And that's what a ring general that's what ring generalship is all about.
Yeah, for sure. And why I bring up Shakur, it's like, when we watched Shakur in his last fight against Conceição, looked great for the six rounds, but just didn't find that second gear. Like you said, maybe it's more of a temperament type of thing. You have to be a knockout.
Yeah, more mentality.
But yep. Like the same thing kind of could be said with Haney. I know a lot of fans, even in the chat, are like, oh, this is going to be a snooze fest. I don't want to see this. Haney, the pillow fist. He's boring. Jab, 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 move. Do you think he will go for the knockout, especially if Kambosos is more aggressive? Do you think he needs a knockout in this type of fight? I know a win is a win, but your perception also is a big thing in this sport.
Does he need it? No. You know, he's got to win. Can he do it? And move on. Yeah. Can he do it? I believe so. You know, I haven't seen anything to show me that Kambosos is some iron-chinned, you know, durable guy. So it's possible, and especially when you got a guy who's long, and I still think Haney is maturing physically. So, you know, he could wake up with some more power that day, and we could get the stoppage, or just could be an attrition thing, just frustrating as well. But I expect another decision.
Yeah, Haney a -1,000 favorite on DraftKings right now. I think Kambosos will try. I think he'll try harder. There isn't a third fight dangling. I think he will open himself up more, which could lead to some openings for Haney. That's just how boxing works. Will Haney get the stoppage? I think will be a big-time storyline in this fight. And if Haney does go on to win any way possible, he has a mega fight lined up with Vasily Lomachenko. That is been in the works.
Love that fight.
Right. That's been in the works for a long time with Top Rank. That's the beauty of Top Rank. You know, they have these guys. They brought in Devin Haney. It was probably very enticing for him. Listen, you're going to have to go to Australia. You're going to have to beat this guy twice in 6 months. Maybe you're getting a lot of money, but it's not exactly what you were getting at the zone with Matchroom. But you will get a fight with Lomachenko. You will probably be a pay-per-view fight in early 2023. That's the big carrot here for Devin Haney. I think he just got one more fight in him, or this fight, and then one more at 135 against Lomachenko before it goes up to 140 with some of the big guys. But that's an awesome fight, Haney and Lomachenko.
Yeah, and I think Haney has a chance, honestly. I think stylistically, I think body size, I think age, all of that's on Haney's side. Lomachenko's a difficult puzzle just because of his style, and he's, you know, he is so damn good. But, man, I want to see that fight. I like that fight a lot.
Yeah, El Pinch Punch in the chat says, I don't think he can or will try to KO Kambosos. He's still shook from that Linares shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there live for that.
With the jelly legs.
He fought those next couple rounds a little different.
He did, didn't he? That's the thing, too. It's like that sticks in the mind. He's been so dominant in his career. Is, you know, that one moment, it sticks with fans, and it's stuck with detractors or doubters for Haney, is that when he gets in there with a big puncher, he's not willing to trade because he may be a little suspect of his chin.
Yeah, but I don't think Hebosis is a big puncher. I don't see that in him. He's more volume guys, more he's tenacity. If I had one word to explain Kambosos, yeah, he's just tenacious. But I don't see, he's not big for the weight class. He doesn't seem like a physically strong guy. He's not a big puncher. I know he dropped Teofimo, but you know, he caught him with a good shot. I'm not saying, you know, he can't punch, but I don't see him as being a puncher like that.
Yeah, he's talking about retiring too. George.
Who is?
George. Kambosos. Yeah, he says, I'm 29, I'm almost 30. If I lose to Haney, you won't see me fighting domestic guys, domestic level here in Australia. This is all or nothing for me. I think that's like kind of maybe just hyping himself up a little bit, some extra motivation, self-motivation. Because if he has a good showing, he can only go up from his last one. And he sticks around at 135, maybe fights a Shakur Stevenson. Like, he's in that orb. You know, he's in that top rank orb, fighting ESPN. I think there's still big fights for Kambosos, but he has to have a better showing than he did last time.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't, he can still make a pretty penny. You know, coming off a former undisputed, and you know, he lost to, you know, Haney, who's a good fighter, and he's potentially going to be a great fighter someday. So yeah, I mean, he's got more earning potential in him. But listen, that's up to him. If he wants to call it a day and count his money, more power to you, bro.
Yeah, he made a lot. He made a lot for this fight. Talk about cashing in a lottery check. Beating Teofimo, being a free agent at the time, having all the mm-hmm. belts, having these young guys want those belts. That is like one of the best positions. And, you know, shout out to DiBella, you know, coming up with a way to maximize it the most with that stadium fight, you know, having Haney go over to top rank. That was kind of cool from the business standpoint. Everything kind of aligned well for Kambosos to make that type of money. Ronnie's giving me the, so we got to move. It's literally spin the wheel, he's saying. All right, yep, here we go. Wheel is spinning. Yes, let's go. Wilder Hellenius. Before we get into Wilder Hellenius, I'm going to tell you about our friends at DraftKings. Chris, we're midway through the football season. The Giants are 4-1. I won my against the spread pick last week. I'm now 2-3. The winner goes to the Super Bowl. There's a lot of people wanting to come with me. I get two tickets to the Super Bowl if I win this thing. I'm in it with Justin Penick of Talking Giants here, Trevor Plouffe of Talking Baseball, former Minnesota Twin. We got Jake Storielli in there, who is the vice president of this company, vice president of fun, and they have me in there for some reason. I don't know why I'm in it, but I'm going to win it. And if I win, I get two tickets to the Super Bowl. So I know Ronnie wants to go. Chris, you probably want to go. Girlfriend Maria wants to go.
I don't know if she wants to go.
The guy that's feeding me picks in Vegas, he probably wants to go. Ronnie, you don't want to go.
I would love to go.
Chris, are you interested?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I got some bidders here. But anyway, today's video sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is dishing out awesome offer to all their new customers. All new customers, all you do is sign up using promo code JOHNBOY. You got to bet $5 at any pregame money line wager, and you receive an additional $200 in free bets. So you put down $5, you get $200 to play with like that. That's right, new customers, that's $5. You get an additional $200 in free bets. That's like that same game parlays. I'm going to give you my same game parlay in just a bit. You can combine multiple bets from same game to give yourself a shot at even bigger winnings. We love parlays. I won my last parlay. I got one coming for you this time. I'm hot in the streets right now, Chris. You like to fade my bets? I wouldn't do that anymore. I'm hot.
Yeah, well, you've turned a corner. In the beginning of this, you were in a rut.
One for my last one.
Then I come on the show, and now you've got a string of luck. So, I mean, I might have something to do with it.
I think your knowledge is starting to wear off on me. Like, I know my boxing, but you take it to another level. So I'm learning things, seeing things, like in the gym.
Yeah, this is – so if you notice, this is me trying to wedge in between – Ronnie going if you win. So I'm you know, it's probably because of me being here, so I should go to the game.
Making a case. I can be bought.
Wouldn't be a show without me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, Ronnie can literally unplug everything right now, and that would be the end of this show.
He's gonna edit me out.
Oh no.
And then the girlfriend is, and then the guy helping me with the picks.
Oh no.
A lot
Chris
going on
is here. Muted.
Yeah, it's a tight competition.
For those in states where betting is not available, don't forget DraftKings has daily fantasy. It's only a matter of time, I feel like, for sports betting is legal in every state. Basketball season, too, so there's ways to do that. So that's $5 on any pregame money line wager. You receive an additional $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers use promo code BOXING. That's promo code BOXING only at DraftKings sports book. I'll give you my same game parlay right now before we get into Wilder and Helenius, a fight that me and Ronnie will be at. We're going to have a lot of content coming your way. We're going to the weigh-in on Friday. I heard Usyk is going to be there. Who knows who comes out to a Deontay Wilder fight. The fans will be lit. They will be smoking marijuana because that is a staple of the Barclays Center. Deontay's back. That's really big. And I'm looking at some of the odds for this fight, Chris, and I think knockout. I mean, it's not going a distance. The over-under is set right now at 4.5 rounds. And I kind of like the over here at minus 135. Decent line there. Decent odds. It's not too robust. Only because I think Wilder has been in the ring in a while. A little cautious. Fights slow early. Helenius as well. They know each other from sparring. I do think Wilder's going to win via knockout. I just think it's going to come after the fourth round. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think the thing about Wilder is his power is surprising, you know? So, like, you've never been hit with somebody that hard, but Helenius has. They've been sparring partners before. He's felt the power. It's not going to be as shocking. Granted, no more headgear, smaller gloves. That's a different kind of power. But I believe that Helenius, having that self-confidence that he's been in the ring with Wilder already, mm-hmm. is going to help him survive at least a few rounds. I agree. I think it's going to be over, be the over.
Yeah, El Pinchy Punch says, I'm hearing a lot of people suspicious of this fight because they were sparring partners. You can answer this question. We heard this a lot in the Jake Paul nonsense, the lead up to the Rockman fight. Yeah. It's like, he was sparring partners, so that means they're best friends. They're connected at the hip. Sparring is straight up like you're brought in to do a job. It's how you practice in this sport, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, sparring ain't fighting. And, you know, when you're fighting, you're fighting for money, and you're fighting for the rest of your career, and you're fighting for your family. That don't matter. Friends, whatever. I don't care. You should be trying to knock that guy's head off. It doesn't matter if you know each other. If you were friendly in the past, you're not friendly on that night. This is your life. This is your family. This is your legacy. So,
yeah, we'll get into what this could mean for Wilder. Obviously, he's saying all the right things. He's out there doing a lot of interviews. I like Wilder Helenius over 4.5 rounds, -135. Then I like Savannah Marshall by decision at plus 280. We'll talk about that fight, obviously, in the next two ones because there's only two remaining after this one. But that's my same game parlay for this Saturday. Wilder Helenius over 4.5 rounds, Marshall by decision. And you can get that over on DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, let's get into this fight. Deontay Wilder is back. This is good for boxing. I'm a big fan of Deontay Wilder, Chris. I know you are as well. Mm-hmm. You can get into what he said after the Fury fight, the cheating allegations, the costume, the talking about, you know, he can't let it go, that Wilder cheated. That has washed away for me, at least, because he's back. He's good for boxing. He's good for the heavyweight division. He's doing a lot of press. He was at the Giants, New York Giants camp yesterday. He's on Breakfast Club. He's doing all sorts of stuff, and he's saying all the right things. He's saying, I want to fight for 3 more years. I want the biggest fight. I'll fight Usyk if Fury doesn't want to. I'll fight Joshua. I'll fight Fury again. I'll fight Joyce. I want to just go out there and fight. And the reason why he's saying this is because, I don't know if you heard this, Chris, there was a statue unveiling of his in Birmingham, Alabama, where he grew up. They had a big ceremony, and it said he didn't want to fight again after that Fury fight trilogy. And I don't blame him. Took a lot of punishment, made a lot of money. But when he saw that statue, it changed for him. And then he wants to fight on for 3 more years.
Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds a little wishy-washy to me. Didn't want to fight, sees a statue, wants to fight, then says 3 years arbitrarily. You know, I don't love that, but I love that he's back. I think he's an incredible talent. He's arguably the best one punch heavyweight in history. I mean, he's able to starch guys and quality guys too with one shot and highlight reel knockouts over and over and over again. So I'm excited that he's back. I'm not really excited about what he said in terms of that stuff, but whatever. He's gonna fight, and it's always gonna be fun.
He's got a little bit of Fury in him too. He says a lot of things. Like, you interview Deontay Wilder, you can go on for 2-3 hours because, you know, he just goes on and on. He goes on these tangents, and, you know, it was a nice moment to get that statue, if considering, you know, he started the sport really late. You know, 10 title defenses. A lot of people talking about, is he a Hall of Famer or not? But it's just good that he's back. You know, it's good that he's back in the sport. There's still time for him to make these big fights. A fight with Joshua is still big. You know, a fight with Andy mm-hmm. Ruiz, I think that's the next one for him. I think that's the most logical one.
That's a tough fight. and it's a good fight, that's one where I'm like, oof, I don't know how that's going to go. That's a toss up for me in terms of Ruiz and Wilder. I always like that fight. Ruiz Ruiz could win that fight, which I don't know if a lot of people really look at it that way, but he could. I mean, they're complete opposites in the ring. Mm-hmm. It would be, and that would be kind of cool to see. So I think that's a good fight.
Yeah, Ruiz can win that from, those spurts that he has.
I mean, he's got power, he's durable, and he's got fast hands on the inside.
Yeah, the thing with Wilder, he's got to get past Robert Hellenius. Two straight wins. Got this fight because he had two straight wins over our boy Adam.
That boy Kornacki. Adam.
Yeah.
That was hard, man. That sucked. I was at the first one right before the pandemic.
Dude, that was a wild night. That was legitimately 3 days before the pandemic.
The world shut down 3 days later, yeah.
That place was so loud for Kornacki. Yep. I mean, if you've never been to a Barclays fight for Adam Kornacki, it is an experience. This is like 8,000 Polish fans just going ballistic. And I've never heard an arena so quiet after he lost that fight to Hellenius. And then the world shuts down. They have a rematch. Did not go his way, but it's more about Hellenius, stepping on the gas late in his career. But the thing with Hellenius is, which Hellenius is going to show up in this fight? Because he was knocked out by Gerald Washington. And Gerald Washington, is very raw, has a lot of athlete, wouldn't say he's a good boxer. So, which Hellenius is going to show up? The guy that we saw for two fights with Adam Kornacki, or the guy that was kind of pedestrian towards the end of his career and was stopped by a guy like Gerald Washington?
Hellenius, I mean, the best version of Hellenius is super tough. The guy hits really hard. He's really big. He's a big, strong guy. He's legitimately a Viking. He is exactly what he looks like. That's he should be walking off a boat with a battle axe in his hand. He's a super Nordic strong nightmare. Guy. Yeah, exactly. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He's the current crop of super heavyweight type size wise. But like you said, he can be inconsistent. A loss to Gerald Washington was a guy that Kornacki pasted, and he beats Kornacki twice. So, yeah, a lot of question marks there. But either way, I don't think there's a lot of question mark with the Wilder fight.
Yeah, I think Wilder's going to win. But let's go back to Wilder real quick. A lot of money. 10 title defenses. Has been to the top. Heavyweight champ. A lot of fame. A lot of fortune. Made a ton of money in those three Fury fights. Talk about wants to come back. Does Deontay Wilder have that dog in him still?
Exactly why I said I don't really like what he said. He said you don't want to fight again, and then a statue unveiling changes your mind. Then you say 3 years. How much of your heart is really in it? I get it. I've questioned my career a number of times throughout, but I also wasn't looking at the kind of money these guys are looking at. So I don't know. It's hard to see, and that's something we'll never know until we're deep in a hard fight.
That's the beauty of the sport. That's what I was going to say. The beauty of the sport is we'll find out Saturday night how much he has left. When you have that type of money and you've reached the top and you got to dig deep, it's the sixth round. Maybe he's down on the cards because Wilder starts slow. He loses a lot of rounds because he's trying to set up that right hand. Maybe he's getting tagged a little bit from Hellenius, and Hellenius is feeling good. We'll see. That's the beauty of the sport. We'll see how much Deontay Wilder has left. We'll see if he really wants those fights with Joshua Ruiz. Fury again, maybe Usyk. There's a ton of fights out there, and I heard Usyk's going to be in attendance. I got to get an interview with him. I just got to get a glimpse of that guy. I feel like I just would love to see Usyk up close and just get in around that aura on Saturday Night Barclays.
Especially now.
Yeah, when he's legit. He's the unified heavyweight champ. All right, so that's Saturday night, Wilder Hellenius. Your pick, you're going with Wilder second half, KO. That's what I'm going with as well. Yep. We'll be in the building. So we only left two fights now on our little sheet here, our little spinner. Here we go. And it's the two women's fights. And Meyer Baumgartner is next. Step on up. Love this fight, Chris. We broke this fight down in depth a couple episodes ago before the Queen's passing, which is just two wild sentences to put together. but we had this fight is now delayed. This fight is been matriculating for a very long time. They don't like each other. They have to get into the ring. If they don't get into the ring, they're going to just rip each other's eyes out. Because the latest yesterday, they're fighting back and forth. Just this morning at the press conference, they had to be separated. Did you see the video yesterday? It sounded like two siblings arguing to talking about Meyer. Baumgartner's accusing Meyer of growing up with money and means. But Meyer says, no, I was poor, and they're just going anything. They're literally arguing about if the sky is blue or not. They got to get into the ring. They got to settle this. This is one of the best rivalries in boxing right now, regardless of gender. I can't wait for this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm more interested in it now than I was before. I saw Meyer running away with it last time. I thought that she was getting the better of the arguing. I think she's the better of the boxers. I think she's bigger. But I've got a little bit of a hot take here. I think of all these fighters that, you know, that got pushed back on this card, that Michaela Meyer would be the one that would be affected the most.
Wow.
By the travel and the training camp extension. So her coming down a weight and then having that time to go up and back down. You know, I know she trains very, very hard. She has a great team around her. She really works hard during camp and to make the weight, where Baumgartner doesn't have to work that hard to make the weight. It could be an issue. If there's anyone that was going to affect, because I don't think the ladies in the higher weight class really worried about the weight either. I think Meyer would have the most issue with this fight being pushed back and potential for overtraining.
That's interesting. It makes sense because, you know, Meyer mm-hmm. has talked about this is probably my last fight at 130. Maybe she has one more in her to get all four of the belts. The other belt holder is, Choi, and she's so inactive. So who knows if that's even going to be a thing. That's a big reason why I think they made this fight now, is because they couldn't get either. Both of them wanted Choi first to set up for this fight. But shout out to Top Rank and there's a ton of promoters involved in this show, but to put this fight on now. It's the one thing about women's boxing that I like is there really isn't a lot of marinating. There is only a little bit of marinating, and that's when you have fights like Katie Taylor and Serrano, which actually make a lot of money. So it's worth some marination here. Like, this fight probably could have been next year with a little more buildup, but they're doing it now. I love that, and I do understand what you're saying, too, with Meyer. She wants to go up to 135 and maybe fight a Katie Taylor or the Serrano winner. There are a ton of fights for her at 140 even. She's big. You know, she's a big girl. So that could affect her. That's interesting to me. That's an added wrinkle to this fight, is that extra month. Could you imagine the buildup flying over there? It's a fight where you can't stand each other. It's just so much adrenaline, only to learn that you got to get on a plane and head back across the pond just to do it again in about a month. That is a wrinkle to this whole equation.
Yeah, I've been putting myself in those shoes and trying to think about how I would be and how I would react to it. I would not be a happy camper. You know, I generally like more time, but more time can be very dangerous for a fighter, especially a type A fighter who's going to really push in training camp and a hard worker, like I know that Michaela is. So it makes an interesting point. And also, we're seeing now that Baumgartner is getting under Michaela's skin in terms of the argument, like we saw yesterday, which I don't think we saw much of. I thought Michaela was running away with it in terms of when they were arguing in the past. Now you're seeing Michaela being a little more perturbed by these conversations. So that's another thing to think about. Yeah, who knows?
Last time it was the handshake. Remember, you put the hand out and Baumgartner pulled it real hard, and Meyer's like, ooh.
She's like, ooh. Yeah.
But now she's jumping, running across the stage, Meyer.
Yep.
She's getting under his skin. But, you know, that's the stuff that helps build a fight, and I think that's very important. But inside the ring, Meyer is very good. She got the Olympic pedigree. I think she's a better boxer. She throws more punches. She lands more. She is more experienced. The Hamadouche fight showed me so much that she's willing to stand and trade in the middle, throw a ton of punches. With Baumgartner, she hits hard. I mean, that fight with Terry Harper was shocking. She had that one-punch knockout power, which you won't really see in women's boxing. That's why this fight's intriguing inside the ring, because you got a fighter in Meyer who has the pedigree and will throw a ton of punches versus Baumgartner, who's waiting to land that one big one. I just don't see it coming. I think that Meyer's going to run away with this one. How do you feel?
I agree. I think, you know, Meyer got hit with Hamadouche, but I think she's going to be more cautious in this fight. She's going to fight smarter, and she's going to fight the fight at her pace and her length and her range. So, and plus, she's just so busy. Baumgartner is not that busy. She's more of a counterpuncher. She's looking for the one shot, and I don't think one shot's going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I hope that I hope it's a close fight. I mean, obviously, I just said that Meyer's going to run away with it, but I hope it's a close one, because this could be, you know.
I hope it's a good one. It doesn't necessarily have to be close. I hope it's good.
Well, they could fight again. I mean, if it does well and it's close, they can fight again. It's there. So that's the co-main event, Saturday afternoon, ESPN Plus in the States. It leaves us with our final fight, and it's a really intriguing one. It's Savannah Marshall versus Clarissa Shields. Another no love lost between these two. A lot of history between the two. Clarissa Shields has only lost one fight in her life. I'm not going to say professional career, but in her life. It came back way back in 2012, Olympic trials, and it came at the hands of Savannah Marshall. They're using that in the buildup for this fight. Shields is so good, so dominant, but Marshall's good. Marshall's is got some knockout power, and she's big. I love this fight. Shields-Marshall, this whole doubleheader is awesome. This is like, if you were on the fence about women's boxing, this is the one you want to tune into because it just goes above just women's boxing. I just think it's going to be two great fights.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see the rise of women's boxing. It's kind of breaking through the clouds of just being like, oh, it's an undercard. You know, because now we've gotten main events. We've got that we opened up with Taylor and Serrano last year or earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome main event. It turned out to be a really good fight. And now we've got this show, you know. So I think it's good for women's boxing, of course, but I think it's good for boxing on the whole. I think it grabs a different slice of the market out there, and this is a good fight and one that you and I disagree on.
Okay,
which is fun.
Yeah, my pick is my gambling pick, but I'll go with it too. I just think Marshall by a decision. You can get that from pretty good odds. 2 minute rounds, hard to distinguish yourself in those rounds. Home fight for Marshall. Shields has a hard time, you know, doesn't have a lot of power. I think she only has one knockdown. I think one knockout or one knockdown in her career. So not going to be a lot of point differentials in terms of knockdowns. I like Marshall in this fight. I'm going to go with Marshall in this fight.
No, you're being smart. You know, you're being tactical, I should say. But I don't see it. I think I got Clarissa Shields. She does what she always does. She's going to overwhelm. She throws so many punches, but when she lets those hands go in combination, and she's got great conditioning. You know, when she gets her feet underneath her, when she stops falling forward and actually plants her feet and lets her hands go, you know, she's a problem. She throws a ton of punches and lets them go in combination, which I love. I love combination punchers because it's so rare to have people trust their own defense and their speed to let their hands go, and Clarissa does that.
Yeah, Marshall. I mean, excuse me, Shields. 101 career rounds. Outlanded her opponents at 99 of them. 99, 1-1. Hannah Gabriels in round one was the only time that Shields has been outlanded in her career. It's the same fight that Gabriels knocked down Shields in the 10th. Shields only has one knockdown in her career. Doesn't have a lot of power. She's fought better opposition. This would be Shields' 10th world champion compared to just two for Marshall. But when it comes over to the side of Savannah Marshall, she stopped her last 8 opponents. You don't see that in women's boxing. She throws 60 punches around, which is equivalent to 90 in 3 minutes. Throws the most jabs, Marshall. Second in landed. Highly accurate. That's the beauty of this fight to me, is like, there's people out there that do not like Shields. She's very outspoken. A lot of people want to see her handed a little bit of humble pie. But when she's in there with someone in Marshall who has defeated her, albeit 10 years ago, but has serious knockout power, like, how shocked would you be if Marshall knocked out Clarissa Shields?
Listen, anything's possible as boxing. That's why we watch it. And she does have legitimate power, but I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked. And it's, you know, Clarissa's not the other girls that, you know, Marshall has been fighting. So I think she's just a different breed. So I would be, yeah, I mean, it would be shocking if that happened.
Case of Diamante, Shields wide decision, even though I'm sure the judges will have a closer. That's probably how it's going to go. There's going to be some funky scorecards if this goes to if Shields is clearly up, there's going to be some really funky scorecards with the home cooking. But I like this. Like this whole weekend. I mean, fights all over the map starting in the UK in the afternoon. We're heading over to the Barclays. You got this on ESPN. I mean, it's going to be nuts, Ronnie. Are you ready for your first Barclays? First boxing fight you ever been to?
Yes, first boxing fight. I'm actually first time in the Barclays.
Wow.
So a lot of firsts for me. Yankee game that day as well. The juices are going to be flowing.
Did you see the Yankee game got moved to Friday?
Yeah.
1 p.m.?
Yeah.
Rained out tonight. But, you know, the Barclays is near and dear to Chris Algieri. Won his first world title there, Ronnie.
Oh, wow. So the house that Algieri built.
Main evented there, I think, 4 times. Yeah, Barclays is, I mean, what a great venue to watch boxing. You know, not the greatest for hockey. Been there for a couple hockey games.
Well, they don't play there anymore. They straight up.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's not a good venue for that. But for boxing, it's awesome. awesome. It's awesome to fight there as well. I mean, walking through that tunnel, coming out, I mean, whew,
I want to feel the air.
Chills thinking about it.
Let's go. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, Deontay Wilder fights are unlike any other. Heavyweight fights are unlike any other. Two giants in there will be there.
Saturday. Oh, Ronnie, wait till you see these guys in the ring. Yeah. Deontay towers over the top rope. You're like, oh, my God. When I saw Tyson Fury and Wilder the very first fight, the first time they fought, I was like, oh, I mean, the second fight, rather. I couldn't believe how much higher both of them were than the top rope. It's wild.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Wilder comes in, he puts the leg over.
He just steps over it?
Undertakers it.
He doesn't, like, go up.
No.
But oh my goodness.
I want to see the costume too. I mean, obviously, I want to see the fight, but like, that's a big thing with Wilder. It was a big thing in the first Fury fight. He came in with the costume and it was too heavy. That's what his
excuse. He looked like Optimus Prime.
Right. Fury came in on a throne. I don't think the Nordic Nightmare is going to be doing that. I think he's all business in this fight. But
I hope he comes in with a battle axe.
Remember that Viking video, that techno guy? The Viking god. He played house music and he's just like walking through the streets, I think, of like Norway. That's how Helenius should do it on Saturday night.
Well, I'm sure he's going to have techno music because I think that's all those people listen to over there. So.
That's Saturday night. Awesome weekend of boxing. I hope everyone tunes in. It's time for the Casual Corner. How we end every show here. Ronnie Jerez, our super producer, the casual boxing fan here, offers up a casual take, a casual question, a casual topic. We put our sunglasses on.
Oh, yeah.
Get casual here. On the casual
hater blockers come on for casual corner.
I do say that with every week I'm learning a lot more. So, you know, if God gives us the ability to do this for long enough, I won't be a casual fan anymore. I'm gonna be a boxer.
We're gonna have to change this segment.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
hardcore corner.
So, this is a busy weekend in boxing.
Correct.
There's gonna be a lot of fights this weekend. Are these all happening at the same time?
Not at the same time. They're staggered. A few of them will be at the same time. Fox. Wilder Helenius card will go up against the Haney Kambosos card.
See, now that's my question. Why? Like, why have things not coincide for the fans and have fans try to pick and choose instead of try to enjoy everything at the same time?
Because the sport likes to shoot itself in the foot. It's four leagues, four networks, entities, all thinking solely about their
best interest.
So
yeah,
they don't care.
They're all in direct competition. Yeah, they're not combining their forces to help the sport. They're competing against each other.
Right, and Haney Kambosos, which is probably going to be maybe the least competitive of the fights, at least on paper, will probably get the most eyeballs on it because it's on regular ESPN, which is great. Wilder Helenius is a Fox pay-per-view. Behind a paywall. You got to spend at least, I don't know what the price is, probably 60, 70, 80 bucks to watch that fight. I mean, I'm not about to get into what fights belong on pay-per-view because the lines have been so blurred with that. And then you have the DAZN in the afternoon, which is on, I think it's on ESPN Plus as well. That will do really well to the Bumgarner doubleheader. But I've been saying this for years. Some fans love it because they can set up four TVs and they can make it into a kind of a March Madness type of feel.
Okay.
So a lot of fans hate it because how do you possibly keep up with all that?
Yeah.
In one day on a Saturday where you have other, you know, obligations in life, you have family, you have friends, you have significant others. Like, how are you going to tell your family, no, I got to sit down for 12 hours to watch boxing all day long? I mean, that's cool and it's awesome, but it's not really practical.
No, I mean, football has that down to a science.
Right, the windows.
Yeah, Sunday, the windows. But, I mean, you can't really expect boxing to do that at this stage.
Right. Like, it's kind of crazy how they do this. Why not put one of these fights on a Friday night, Chris? Like, why is there not one fight on a Friday night
that
would do huge ratings?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like ego over the promoters. They don't want to, you know, take a step back and be like, oh, maybe be smart and avoid these other fights. I mean, they do it for bigger ones like Canelo fights, like they'll move them. UFC does it. UFC is always cognizant of other things that are going on and will move cards. But yeah, no, like you said, boxing loves to shoot itself in the foot.
Yeah, it's just kind of rearrange it. Like they did a Thursday night. I know Golden Boy does like a Thursday night series, but it's not like big fight. It's like kind of like, you know, prospect level fights where
PBC does Sunday fights sometimes. They did. I'm surprised this Darrell Plant one didn't move to Sunday.
Oh, the Wilder.
The Wilder Helenius fight.
Yeah, they did that. New Year's Day one was a Sunday night, and I mean it was priced well. And then their Ruiz Ortiz was a Sunday night. Even Sunday night. I mean, Hagler Hearns was on a Tuesday night, which is wild.
Like, yeah.
That's way different. That's like a whole nother, that's like almost 40 years ago, which is crazy. But there's the other avenues. You don't always have to do it Saturday. I mean, they're very locked into Saturday night fights, and they just want to get the biggest gate, and they just want to get, but it kind of like, you don't get the highest ratings.
It's Barclays and it's Wilder. It's Wilder's return. It's Barclays. It's heavyweight. They're like, oh, it's got to be Saturday.
Yeah.
Or it could be Friday or Sunday.
Monday. Yeah, it could be. It could be. But the gate, again, like you said, the gate would suffer. And that's a fight that the gate probably matters more than the others.
Yeah. All right. Is that it, Ronnie?
That's everything. Corner.
Hold on one thing. Did you see this, Chris? Manny Pacquiao is fighting in a exhibition.
I just saw that on Instagram last night. I was surprised to see that.
He's fighting an exhibition. I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm shocked because he saw the money that Mayweather's getting. And he's one of the only handful of guys that can do the exhibition stuff. But the biggest thing from this is there's a press conference in L.A. for this fight. But Pacquiao's not going to be there. His hologram will be there. A hologram Manny Pacquiao was showing up for the press conference. This is a game changer.
Huh. That's, I did not hear that. And that's weird.
So Manny will
next we're going to be sending our Android. We're going to be sending our
BattleBots.
Yeah.
Manny will be in three different places at the same time. Like, I'm sure you didn't want to go to every press conference. Like, I'm not coming, but I'm sending my hologram. Best regards.
That's super gangster. That is really
only,
gangster.
Only Pacquiao can do such a thing. Ronnie, had your finger.
Well, soon it's going to be Ronnie. Mark. Ronnie's going to be doing that. He's going to be just sending his hologram to work.
Well, someone wants to know your predictions this weekend, Ronnie. Quick. Shields or Marshall?
Shields.
Wilder or Hellenius?
Wilder.
Plant or Durrell?
Durrell.
Wow. Bumgarner or Mayer?
Bumgarner.
Is that all?
Nice.
Oh, Haney Cambosos.
Haney.
Okay. We'll leave with that.
Yeah. We'll leave hot takes. With hot take, that. Ronnie.
Be sure to follow us on our socials. Go to John Boy Boxing on YouTube. We're going to have a lot of stuff from the Wilder fight. Hopefully get some interviews with Usyk, some reactions, all that good stuff. Follow along Saturday. Saturday is going to be awesome. I hope boxing fans enjoy it. It was a pretty bad week last week in terms of the news. We're back in the ring with some really good fights, and we'll be back maybe Monday. We might do a special edition of the show Monday to kind of talk about this wild weekend. As always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up. Stay out of those DMs.
Ding, ding, ding.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.